Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're talking about God's purpose. What is His purpose now, and what is our involvement in that purpose? Previously, we were looking at God's idea of success for us, and that it is simply to actively depend on Him to live His life in and through us, on His terms, and that our purpose now, what we are doing here on this earth now, is to know God on His terms and in His timing. Again, what is eternal life? It is to know Christ, to know God. Not just intellectually, not just have knowledge about Him, but know by experience. If we just spent the rest of our time here focusing on that, all these other threads would come together, and we would have the full picture by experience, because everything else that God is doing in our lives, the healing, the revealing, everything He's doing is to bring us into an experiential knowledge of Him. But what about God's purpose? What is God getting out of our relationship, out of the earth? About what does He get out of anything? Why is He doing this? Now, especially now, many, when we consider this question, we're drawn into large-scale events. Like, what is the Lord doing in terms of end-time events, or the preaching of the gospel to all nations, or movements in this country, or that, or judgment, or big-ticket items? But we want to look at what His purpose is in relationship to us as individuals. We will not be able to get a grasp of what He is doing on a large scale until we can relate to Him on a personal scale, until we have experienced knowing Him, receiving His love. We cannot properly have a perspective on His intent and desire on a larger scale. God does what God is. And what God is His nature. We've already looked at some of His characteristics, that He is holy, eternal, loving, creative. But He not only has these characteristics, but He is, by His nature, sharing them with His creation as well. Because the fundamental activity or expression of His character is to give. So God's nature is to give what He is. which is why he created us to be receivers of that gift. So God's first purpose toward us is that he gives himself. It's part of his idea of being with us, is that he gives himself. God's purpose now is to give himself to us and through us. Since this is his nature, and his nature will not, does not change, learning to receive what he wants to give is something we'd better learn how to do. If this is one of God's purposes, his desire to give himself to us, we should learn how to be good receivers. From our perspective, this giving of himself is evidenced by his meeting our needs for unconditional love, unconditional acceptance, and unconditional value on an individual basis. There is no limit to his meeting of these needs. And God shows no partiality in the way that he meets them. In other words, he doesn't meet our need for unconditional love more than he meets our need for unconditional acceptance or our need for individual significance. Unconditional love without unconditional acceptance is meaningless, as is acceptance without the recognition of a person's individuality. You can't have one without the other. They're all an expression of each other: love, acceptance, and recognition, value. That you are a unique being and loved and accepted, they all go hand in hand. You can't think God is unconditional in one area. Oh, he loves me unconditionally, but I have to anything, fill in the blank. There are no buts. He loves us. He loves you unconditionally. He accepts you unconditionally. And he values you as an individual unconditionally. He likes you just the way you are, unconditionally. So part of his purpose is to reveal that, to give himself to us and reveal himself in that relationship. So one of the ways God gives himself to us and through us is by revealing himself to us and through us. We must be first partakers of everything God has and is and does. When he gives you a hunger and a thirst for more of him, it is not selfish or in any way interfering with anything else God is doing for you to desire to have that need fulfilled. If he stirs up that desire within you, follow it. Seek for that desire to be fulfilled. That is honoring to him because he is the one who put that desire within you. And it's through this process of responding when he reveals himself that we learn who he is, who we are, and we learn to hear his voice. And it's through this process that we begin to become aware of our soulical senses and how disconnected they are from our spirit and our spiritual senses that are working perfectly fine, thank you very much. Our problem is that right now this conversation is going on in the natural and the soulical realms. Now, spiritually speaking, we are already one. God's purpose is done in the spirit. It's completed. But it's being unfolded in the natural and the supernatural realms. So each of us needs to have our senses tuned to his wavelength so we can recognize him and learn to know him on his terms. Now, he's always there. And as we even start to give him any opportunity to tune our senses, he may reveal himself to us in unexpected ways. Again, comes back to knowing his voice, being able to test what you hear, and then have that level of confidence where you know how to respond to whatever you hear. And that only happens through experience, practice, time. It's like we so often wait until there's an emergency in our lives. And then we pray furiously and we get the prayer chain going and we think if we can just stir God enough by our emotions or by the need or somehow justify calling upon him, that then he will answer. Really, that's sort of like going to the Olympics and just having started a particular sport the week before. In the time of need is not the time to be learning to hear his voice. The time is now. Now, we've talked many times about how God touches us in three areas in our lives to get our attention: the financial, the physical, and the relational. Pretty much everything falls into those categories. Much rather not have to force him to go to one of those areas and stir up a circumstance to drive me to him. I'd rather experience his goodness and let his goodness draw me to him and develop a habit now. Now, there's going to be bad things, uncomfortable circumstances that happen in all of our lives. It's guaranteed, part of life. Now, some experience really bad things, and some experience only slightly bad things. Some experience really good things, and others experience a little good thing. Regardless, God has crafted for you the circumstances you need to accomplish His purpose now. So wherever you are, whatever situation, it's not just how do I get out of this circumstance, but Lord, what habit do I need to fold into my life so I can habitually learn, go into training, so I can be ready, available to receive when you give and acknowledge and recognize when you reveal. Though God often manifests Himself to our natural senses, like your eyes, your vision, He may appear to you where you can see Him, where you can hear Him and touch and taste and smell Him even, and He enjoys doing that. Remember, He is always manifesting Himself, revealing Himself spiritually in the spiritual realm. His spirit to our spirit. And more importantly, He desires to make Himself known, to make Himself real, to make Himself more real than the natural, more and more clearly on the supernatural level. Perceive Him in that realm, in the supernatural realm. Our ears and our eyes must be quickened. And this is where spending that time with Him, doing the training, doing the homework, doing the studying, doing the research, whatever homework He assigns to you. Because perceiving Him in the supernatural requires ears that hear and eyes that see. Not your physical eyes, your physical ears, but your soulical eyes and ears. This is one of those things you have to experience. But once you do, you'll know, okay, oh, that's what His voice sounds like. I'm not talking audible, but internal, in your soul. One of the reasons we have such a hard time perceiving the difference between our soulical senses and our natural senses is, unfortunately, there's an emphasis on our natural senses. That we want to see Him do something. You know, that during a service, you know, somebody seeing an angel or a cloud or glitter or whatever is so much more valuable than Him speaking, whispering in a person's heart and having that person receive and hear and be changed. None of us can possibly have any idea how God wants to make Himself known, what He has in store for us. But as we become trustworthy and have our senses tuned and our expectations changed and our wounds healed and our flesh removed, and pursue him, waiting on him and for him and with him, with expectation and persistence, come to that place that wherever, whatever he is doing, whatever God is doing, whatever God is saying, he can share it with us. You ever wonder why God talks to some people and he doesn't talk to others? Well, sometimes it's because you don't know how much he's talking to somebody else, because they know how to keep their mouth shut. So, in fact, ask the Lord now, Lord, is that an area that you want to talk to me about? Keeping secrets. Another of God's purposes now is he desires to direct us. God wants to reveal himself to us in part so that he does. Very often we want to be led by him, following after him. But as we grow to depend on him more and more, he wants to point out the way, then move with us as we proceed. Now, this may seem contradictory to walking in dependence, but what actually happens is that as our confidence in our state of rest and abiding deepens, we gain confidence in every footfall. We lose that sense of time, which is very often how we gauge who's going first, God or us. Likewise, our actions and behavior line up to such an extent that we find ourselves moving in him and obeying him without thinking or deciding to obey him. That it's natural, it's normal. It just is a state of being with him. When we think about being led by God, also think about being yoked with him. There's an evenness that we are traveling with him, that we are accomplishing the work with him, that we are moving and being flexible step by step with him. As our soul and body line up with our spirit, as our soul and body come under the control of our spirit, there is a unity that truly knows the way to go and goes without the need for signs or confirmations or proof before, during, or after. The knowing of confidence becomes all. This is an experience that is better felt than telt. but we must hold out for knowing him by spirit, rather than settling for the natural and supernatural manifestations of the Lord that we will experience as our supernatural and natural senses are tuned. So as he directs us and we gain that confidence, very often all we hear from him is silence. There's that knowing, that confidence, that rest, but no signs, no interference, no applause. When your child is in the front yard playing or riding a bike and doing and being exactly what they're meant to be, a child playing, there's no reason for yelling at them or communicating with them. But if you see them heading towards the street, that's when you go into action. When you see them playing with something they shouldn't be playing with, going the wrong direction, that's when you hear, that's when they'll hear from you. But when you're on the right track, when you're heading in the right direction, when you're learning what God wants you to be learning, there's very often a silence. Now, he knows we need encouragement, and he provides it. And if you need encouragement, ask for it. That's one of my favorite verses, is the tale of Gideon and the fleecing. That whole story is not about a promise or power or anything, confirmation. It's all about encouragement. He already knew what God wanted him to do, and he'd seen God at action. He knew God was going to show up. He just needed encouragement, and he asked God, and God gave it. So if you are discouraged, ask God for encouragement. That's part of the process too. So we will be picking it up here next week at the same time on Sunday evenings. In the meantime, if you want to get in touch with me, the website is club.org. There's a contact form. Feel free to use that. Now, if you email me, if you use that contact form, I will respond, but it will come from therainersclub.org. So if you've emailed me, if you've used that contact form or just used a regular email, at diane@therainersclub.org, and you don't hear back from me, check your spam. Check your spam folder, because that does seem to happen, especially for some reason with the contact form, that I'll receive it, I'll respond, and try to follow up with you, never hear back, and to make sure you did receive it and you didn't receive it because it's gone into your spam folder. So I do appreciate hearing from you, and I do appreciate your questions and having a conversation with you on some of these things, and hopefully encouraging you towards the simplicity of devotion to Christ. Don't be distracted by what's going on in the world or even in your life. Recognize that God wants to focus on what's important to him, and he wants to bring healing and freedom and truth into your life. Make the most of your time here on this earth. It's valuable. We will not walk this way again. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again the same time next week. Until then, this has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.